Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
The Grill Room doors are open again, and yes, your table is ready. It seems like the action just keeps coming, Alex. It feels like mid-season.
Well, I don't know, Bob. Do you think it feels like mid-season? It's the playoffs, for God's sake. It doesn't feel like mid-season to me.
Well, there we go. Why don't we get this cleared up right to start with? You got to stop picking on me. I mean, you really do.
Oh, is that because someone wrote in and said, hey, you know, you got to stop picking on Bob? I don't pick on you. I think I state the facts, and unfortunately, most of the time, you have no idea what the facts are. That's not my fault. I mean, get better prepared.
Well, what I'm thinking is, if we can make the adjustment and go to 50% of the time I'm wrong, you don't mention it.
Okay. All right. I'll use that level. That might be the level you're using for your boy Tiger, is it?
Well, hey, first off, let's get this out to our listeners. You know, as the open to the show tells everybody, we are two friends who rarely agree, but nothing malicious is ever intended. We have differing opinions, which we freely express and continue to do so. However, we certainly have no intention of offending any of our listeners. Really, all this is in good fun. And you brought up the name Tiger, and I think what a magnanimous decision he made by deciding to call Tom Watson and say, look, Tom, my back's probably going to be better. I'm probably going to be playing great golf by the time the Ryder Cup comes, but I don't think it's fair for you to agonize over picking me. I'm going to withdraw my name from consideration. That takes a class act to do something like that.
Well, first of all, I agree with the fact that it was magnanimous, which is exactly the word I used in the story I wrote about Tiger.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, I understand that. But the rest of it, I don't think I agree with at all. You know, first of all, his back is not going to be ready for the Ryder Cup. I think he made it pretty clear that his doctors have told him to shut it down for a while. So I don't know why you think if he has to shut it down for a while, and I'm thinking it's not just days, we're talking weeks, or possibly even months, considering the fact that he said that he hopes that he will return in December at his own event. I don't see where you think that he had that conversation with Watson saying, hey, I know I'm going to be playing great by the time we get to the Ryder Cup, but don't pick me. I don't think that conversation happened. I do think the conversation happened that, Tom, it's unclear to me at this point when I will be able to actually play golf at a high level. So there's no reason to extend this discussion any longer and take away from your captaincy in the Ryder Cup. I'm just going to yank my name out of consideration. I think that conversation happened.
Let me ask you, if that phone call wasn't made, would Tom Watson have picked Tiger Woods?
Well, I've been consistent now in saying no, and saying no for a lot of reasons. But I've had others that were convinced, and I think you were one of them, considering that you were as a little wager between ourselves, that he was going to pick Tiger. I think it was very clear he was, to me, not going to pick Tiger. And I think it would have been, it should have been very clear to everyone, especially after learning everything we know now about Tiger.
All right, let's switch gears just a little bit.
I don't want to switch gears. I love this conversation.
I heard some speculation that he may even require another back surgery. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, when it comes to Tiger and sources, I have none. So I have heard nothing about that. But again, going off of the only what I've seen, he seemed to indicate the issue he has currently has nothing to do with the prior issue. It's more of a muscular issue, not a structural issue. So I don't know why he would require another back surgery, but at the same time, it's not like he's sitting there throwing out index cards to me, telling me all the things that are going on. So, and quite honestly, you know, if he has some swelling or anything like that in the area of his back where he had the surgery, it's going to, they're going to have to wait until it calms down and everything else before they can probably make an accurate assessment, which is probably why they want him to stop playing for a while so they can kind of see what exactly is going on. Bottom line is that when he came back, he has played poorly, and I don't think that Tiger Woods can continue to play this way and be sane. So he's going to have to do whatever they're telling him to do, which is meaning taking a lot of time off.
And just to indicate to our listeners that we truly are friends, I have put the wheels in motion to see if I can get you into the Tiger pipeline that I enjoy and several others enjoy. And by your own admission, you're outside of that pipeline. But if I'm doing what I can, Alex. That's all I can tell you. I'm doing what I can.
Well, I guess at this point I'm supposed to say I'm appreciative, but quite honestly, I'm good with where I am.
I don't know what to tell you then. It sounded like you were whining about not having any sources with Tiger.
Stating facts. I was only stating facts.
I tried to rectify it, and this is what happens. It never changes. It never changes. As a matter of fact, pick on me all you want. I don't want to offend any listeners, but you can't offend me. I stand my ground. I know what I'm talking about. I have very reliable sources
that
tell me that Tom Watson definitely was going to pick Tiger if Tiger didn't WD.
Well, let's back up. I love how you say I have impeccable sources. I think that was, you didn't use that phrase, but I think that's what you meant. And I'm trying to think now. Those are the same impeccable sources that in starting from maybe 2010, every major that we've come to, your sources have told you that this gentleman, Tiger Woods, Gentleman Woods, is going to win the next major we were coming up against, including delusional sources at this point, including the Open Championship and the PGA Championship. If those are your sources, I'd be looking for a chipmunk that's got more information, because I'm going to tell you right now that the squirrel back at the President's Cup last year that Davis Love had in his pocket probably has more information about what's going on with Tiger Woods than your sources.
Well, just so you're informed, I did receive an early report that Tiger definitely is going to win the Masters in 2015 in April. So brace yourself for that.
I'm bracing. I am so braced. But, you know, as you bring that up, I was looking just as we were talking earlier, and the odds for the 2015 Masters have been updated. And believe it or not, Rory McIlroy is the 5-1 favorite, which seems appropriate. But Tiger Woods is number two at 12-1. Now, let me just ask you right now, who are are your sources the ones that are setting the odds in Vegas? Because there's no way in the world I could set the odds for Tiger at 12-1 for the Masters, April 9th to 12th in 2015.
Well, actually, I'm one of the sources that the bookmakers use, and I'm in the loop as far as setting the odds, and I said that 12-1 is way too generous, but they felt that they wanted to give that to their bettors. I thought he should be as low as like 3 or 4 to 1 because he's going to be healthy. He hasn't played in a while. He hasn't won a Masters since 05. He's decided that's long enough. This Rory McIlroy kid, you know, dominating the headlines. Tiger has to do something to derail him. Rory's going to be going for the Grand Slam. Tiger doesn't think he's ready to be a Grand Slam winner. So Tiger has already begun focusing on the Masters in April. So you heard it first right here in the Grill Room. What is it? It is August. And you found out who's going to win next year's Masters. That's the difference with this show. Remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. powered by Golf Week and heard on TuneIn Radio. And when we come back, well, now let's stay here. Let's just talk about what happened last week, the Wyndham Championship. It was the last chance to get into the playoffs. Pretty impressive win by somebody that's been absent for 3.5 years from that winner's circle.
Well, not only absent, but when he was at the Canadian Open, decided he just wasn't interested in playing golf and withdrew and went home to Columbia. Then he shows back up in Greensboro, North Carolina, and shooting 63 to win. Camilla Villegas did a heck of a job in doing that. And you know how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour. I don't care what field it is, what event it is. So for Villegas to win, it's a huge, huge plus for him.
And, of course, did win by one over Bill Haas and Freddie Jakobsen, who continues to knock on that door. Freddie, one of the great guys out there. But you mentioned the point, Alex, how tough it was on Camilo. Let's listen in his own words.
Yeah, you lose confidence. You kind of give yourself kicks in the butt and kind of maybe dig yourself in that hole a little bit harder. You don't enjoy the game as much as you do when you're playing good. But again, that's the same thing in life. When things are going great, it's easy to enjoy. When things are not going good, it's harder to enjoy. But you gotta stay strong. You gotta keep working. And I've always done that. I've always been a hard worker, and I've always kind of believed in myself. Sometimes more than others. And again, just happy to be right here, right next to this trophy.
Actually, Alex, it sounds like the formula that Tiger's using right now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that you're going to see Tiger come out and shoot a couple 63s when he comes back after his time off. There's no question in my mind. That whole idea that, you know, people don't believe in you and you have to believe in yourself, well, you're not going to make it on the PGA Tour unless you believe in yourself. But sometimes it just doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, putts don't drop, ball hits something, goes one way or the other. So there's always some other issues going on. And it seems like when you're playing well and things are going well, the ball hits the right, goes the right way, putts drop and things like that, which is what happened with Villegas. Just to show you how far down he was in, from where he was started the year at 292 in the world rankings, and it was 254 entering Wyndham, and only moved up to 112, which is, you know, for winning, which does, it seems like you should be higher, but I think it gives you a pretty good idea how good the field was not at Wyndham. That being said, you cannot take away from his win, and I'm sure that he doesn't care if Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els were in the field or not. He just knows he's got to check the trophy, and he's got a two-year exemption on the way to the Masters and on his way into the FedEx Cup playoffs.
And a few players, Alex, had made enough money, official money earnings, to get that card for next year. We want to congratulate Nicholas Thompson, Jim Renner, Mike Weir, and Charlie Belgian. They all qualify for the tour next year. They did not make it into the playoffs, but the top 125 in FedEx Cup points make it to the first playoff event.
You know, Bobby, you need to probably just let everybody understand that they have a dual system, and I'm not sure how much longer it's going to last. I think this could be the last year, where if you're in top 125 in money, you will get your card, but you have to be top 125 in FedEx Cup points. You will, in that case, you will also get your card, but you then also get into the playoffs. So there is a little difference. There's a little overlap if you had the old Venn diagram thing, but those four guys will have their card for next year. And what I find interesting is Jim Renner, a pretty good guy from the Boston area, had a really good beginning of the season, kind of struggled during the end. Mike Weir has struggled for a long time, including after surgery. I think he took his top 25, it could be top 50, to try to keep his card for the PGA Tour, and he does. So I think those are two interesting stories. And, you know, Nicholas Thompson, whose sister is Lexi, and then Charlie Belgian, who's won on the PGA Tour as well. So they're all guys you know. But I'm sure it makes it a lot easier knowing that you've got your card versus having to go through the playoff system and the web.com tour, which is going to be that four-event playoff system. But I would almost guarantee you that every one of these guys will be on that in that playoffs, because if they're not doing that, they're not playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So they got nothing else better to do. They'll be playing.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And we'll have more from around the world of golf in just a moment.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, we're back in the Grill Room. It was disappointing, I have to say, Bob. Disappointing watching Brittany Lincecum kind of collapse down the stretch at Wegmans LPGA Championship, a major. After 38 years in Rochester, they are saying goodbye to Wegmans and the LPGA Championship. It will move to somewhere. I think it's down at it's going to be down at Westchester Country Club. It'll be called the KPMG LPGA Championship because of the involvement of the PGA of America. So they are leaving Rochester, even though in talking to some sources, including Beth Ann Nichols, they're trying to find a sponsor for an event up there. But I'll tell you, it was a great event, but it was sad to watch Brittany Lincecum not get it done, losing in a one-hole playoff. But I think it was even before that that you started seeing the handwriting on the wall. She had a chance, really, I didn't think a very difficult chance, to two-putt for the win on the 18th hole after Inbee Park made a pretty good 15-footer. Didn't get it done. Very, very disappointing.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it is kind of sad, Alex, about leaving the Rochester area. For people listening around the country, Rochester being in upstate New York, but as you well know, Alex, it really is a hotbed of golf. You wouldn't think with the short season they have up there that golf would be that popular. I often compare it, and you've traveled extensively in northern Michigan. Michigan is just another real hotbed of golf in this country, and I don't think it's going to be too long, according to Beth Ann, that they'll be back in Rochester with another event. Certainly, when you have that many fans in a condensed area, good idea to keep playing one of your events there.
No, I agree. I mean, they had, I think, over 25,000 on Sunday, which is a pretty good group. They found a good golf course. There's a lot of interest in golf up there. As you know, Oak Hill is up there. We go there maybe every 7 or 8 years for a PGA Championship or something. So, yeah, there's a lot of interest up there. They need to go to venues like that. They need to go to mid-level markets. I think that's where you get the best interest. So Lydia Ko, who is the wunderkind now, who has made the transition, I thought, relatively seamlessly from the amateur ranks to the professional ranks, made a run as well, but she couldn't keep up the pace. All right, so that being said about Lydia Ko, let's hear from the winner, defending Wegmans LPGA champions, Inbee Park on her win.
Been 38 years in Rochester that we've been playing, and you know, so many people had so many great memories. I had great memories, and you know, being able to be a part of the history was such a special feeling. And I almost thought it was gonna happen. It wasn't gonna happen today, and but it happened. I don't know. Maybe Rochester and Rochester people's been helping me a lot to make this happen. And yeah, it's good that we have this kind of community where everybody's really into golf and they love golf and they really love supporting us.
All right, Inbee Park, certainly one of the great players on the LPGA Tour last year. In case you forgot, 3 majors in a row. Incredible stuff. And by the way, one little side note, Alex, on Lydia Ko. She was trying to beat a record that was established in 1868. and that was held by young Tom Morris, the youngest player to date ever to win a major championship. Side note to that, there were only 12 entries in that field when he won, but he still won. Lydia Ko, had she won this past weekend, she would have been the youngest person ever to win a major in golf. And MB Park, second win this year, Alex, won over $1 million so far in 2014, nearly $9 million in her career. She's just amazing to watch. She never seems to get too excited, never seems to get too down on herself, almost has the ultimate demeanor to play this wacky sport of golf.
Well, it seems like it, but I mean, according to her, she is actually churning inside. Someone that was churning not only inside but outside was Lincecum. She talked about after her round on Sunday how she was so nervous over a lot of the shots. You know, it's one of these things where you don't really understand what it's like unless you're in that situation. And neither you nor I can really talk about it at a professional level, Bobby, but there are times when you're sitting over a putt and you know how important it is, and you could tell yourself, just go up there and kind of hit, knock it in, but it's not that simple. It just gets a little nerve-wracking, and obviously at the professional level, it can, no matter if you outwardly show it or not. NB Park doesn't show it outwardly, nor does Lydia Ko, by the way. She seems to have the demeanor of a cool glass of water, but I'm sure even at her young age, she's got a little vibration going on inside her stomach as well.
Yeah, and one other note with Brittany, trying to close the deal coming down the stretch, not easy when you look right behind the 18th green, you see her dad, and they have a very close relationship, and you see her boyfriend. So added pressure for Brittany Lincecum. Couldn't get it done, but she hits the ball so far and dominates par fives that I fully expect to see her back in the winner's circle again. Now, what happened on that Champions Tour, Alex? First time in history. I don't know if we can get a little drum roll because I think it warrants it. All right. Kevin Sutherland made history in that second round, Mr. Maselli, shooting a first ever Champions Tour 59. 12 birdies, an eagle, and a bogey. But he couldn't maintain that momentum. He finished with a 74, tied for seventh. But just a couple of quick words on that 59, first time ever on the Champions Tour.
Well, obviously, first time ever is always great. But the fact is, it could have easily been a 58. I mean, he bogeyed the last hole. I think, 58 anywhere is pretty interesting. But 59 on the Champions Tour, those golf courses, they don't go to Endicott anymore, which is where the Dick's Sporting Goods Open was. We used to have the BC Open up there on the PGA Tour. It's certainly a place where you can go low, but, no one was going as low as Kevin Sutherland. It's pretty impressive. Probably more impressive, though, is the fact that Bernhard Langer continues on what is a torrid pace, shooting 66, 66, 67, his 23rd win on the Champions Tour and fifth win this year. You know, I don't know what you say about a guy like that. I do know this. When talking to Kenny Perry last week and asking him what his plans were, he said, I'm taking 7 weeks off. And I go, 7 weeks off? He goes, yeah. He goes, I can't catch Bernhard Langer or Colin Montgomery for the going into the Schwab Cup playoffs. So why am I going to try? Well, it's pretty clear that he was right, because if he had been at this event, he still wouldn't even be wouldn't be any closer, in fact, further away from Langer after this win.
And with this win, Alex, doesn't the conversation at least come up once again that Paul McGinley possibly will take Bernhard Langer for his European Ryder Cup team?
Well, I think McGinley's been pretty clear on saying he's not going to consider Bernhard Langer. So the answer possibly would be no. It's probably not. Absolutely not. I understand how well he's playing, but you're suggesting at this point that he's going to leave off guys like Luke Donald or Stephen Gallagher or Lee Westwood. Ian Poulter hasn't made it on points. I don't see that happening.
Well, that's probably, you know, you bring up a good point there. I mean, he warrants consideration, but a pick of, you know, Bernhard Langer would eliminate one of those names that you said, and that puts it in a different perspective. Interesting on the web.com tour, it was the 25th News Sentinel Open presented by Pilot in Knoxville, Tennessee. Winner Martin Piller, and what was happening is interesting that his wife was playing in the LPGA event. As far as I know, they're the only husband-wife professional team in golf right now.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. She played pretty well as well, finishing 13th. I think she was actually playing, I want to say she might have been playing with Lydia Ko, but I can't remember who she was playing with. But, Janeer Piller was playing in Rochester while her husband was winning up there in Knoxville. Big win, huge thing, because, you know, I think he gets inside the top 25 is what you need to get your card on the PGA Tour next year. Now, of course, there's a lot going on between now and then with playoffs and all the other stuff going on. But winning never gets old. Winning only pretty much validates what you've been doing. So in Piller's case, I'm sure he's pretty excited about that. European Tour, Bobby Scotland's Mark Warren wins by two in the Made in Denmark European Tour event. Third European Tour win, but his first in almost 7 years. I don't think that changes anything in McGinley's mind. He wants a Scot on the team, currently does not have one. I don't think Mark Warren is the Scot he's looking at.
Who do you think he has his eye on?
Stephen Gallagher seems to be the discussion point. When looking for a Scot, I think it's important, and I think I mentioned this last week or somewhere. I mean, the only Scot that would be playing, that would be involved in the Ryder Cup if he doesn't pick a Scot on the European side is going to be Tom Watson, who's been adopted by the Scot. So I don't think you want Tom Watson to be the only Scot on the teams or involved with the team. So I think it's imperative that McGinley try to find a Scotsman to play on his European side.
And a lot of excitement about that Ryder Cup already. A sold-out event. It is going to be absolutely incredible at Glen Eagles. Hot Topic is up next. How do the playoffs work? We'll talk about it. Remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week and heard on TuneIn Radio. Hot Topic up next.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Hot Topic, we're talking about Hot Topic, you see.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Mr. Maselli. I'm just little old Bob. All right, time now to talk about the FedEx Cup playoffs. As best we might, try and explain what's going to happen. And one of the things right off the bat, if a player qualifies for these playoffs, Alex, and decides for whatever reason not to play or can't play, probably be more the latter. I don't see anybody just deciding not to play. He's not replaced. In other words, they just play, you know, minus one, if that be the case.
Okay. Is that exciting? Are you interested? Is that interesting?
Well, I think it's interesting because most playoffs, if a player decides not to participate, they would go one down, one notch down the list, and bring the next guy in. Could be wrong. Could be wrong.
No, well, I mean, the one thing that you have to understand, I think what you're saying is the top 125 in the FedEx Cup points qualify. If for some reason somebody in the top 125 in the first week can't play, they're not replaced by someone else, and there's a reason for that. The reason is because let's say I'm number one. I'm Rory McIlroy, and I don't want to play in Barclays. Now the field is 124. Well, they're not going to put somebody else in because I'm going to show up next week at Deutsche Bank. So that's why they do that. It's the reason. It's the top 125, period. The only guy that played his way in out of Wyndham this week was Sengmoon Bae, and the only guy that played his way out was Nicholas Thompson, who we mentioned earlier. He fell from 123 to 126, so Sengmoon Bae is in the playoffs, and he will be one of the top 125 that will be playing at Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey off the highway there at the Barclays. And from that 125, we get reduced down, Bob, don't we? We get reduced down to Deutsche Bank's top 100. So you have to come out of – you got to come out of Barclays in the top 100 in the points list to get into Deutsche Bank. And then from there, Bob, what happens?
Well, we go to BMW Championship, a new venue this year, Cherry Hills, Denver. But before we talk about that, I just want to mention a couple of things about Ridgewood. It's certainly one of the real gems in the Northeast. Back in 1935, Byron Nelson was the assistant pro there, and I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that back in those days, the professionals couldn't make enough money playing in tournaments to survive. They all had to have club jobs, and Byron Nelson chose Ridgewood, and Ridgewood with a rich tradition. So the players will be excited about playing that golf course when they get there. And then once they leave Cherry Hills, we said you had to be in the top 70 to get in there. Then you got to go down to the top 30, and all points are reset at that point. Can you explain to our listeners what that means?
Well, it's just a seeding process. They take the top 30, they reseed them, so that what happens is anybody in the top five that wins the Tour Championship will automatically win the FedEx Cup as well. And they do the seeding because of over the history of this cup now, they've had situations where a guy didn't even basically have to show up at the Tour Championship and win the FedEx Cup. So they took all the drama out of it. So what they've done is they've created that drama in the final week, which once it's over, it's actually officially the end of the PGA Tour season. We'll take a week off. We'll go to the Ryder Cup. We'll take another week off. And then the 2015 season will start at the fries.com up in Napa Valley at Silverado. So that's the reason why they do that. And Bob, since you brought up Ridgewood and you seem to be the Ridgewood historian, I'm just wondering if you're familiar with what happened at the, as you mentioned, 1935, the Ryder Cup in 1935, there was a bit of an anomaly there as well. Are you familiar with that?
Refresh my memory.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They actually played the Ryder Cup over three different nines at Ridgewood during the 1935 Ryder Cup. And the nines were the West, the East, and the Center. I found that quite interesting. They would just put together two nines for the different foursomes or singles. I had never seen that before.
Well, I'm glad you brought up an interesting thing for the 1935 Ryder Cup, because I'm proud to announce on September 2nd, ebook is coming out. It's called The Ryder Cup, Golf's Greatest Event. It's now in the hands of Tom Watson. It's in the hands of the president of the PGA of America.
Bishop.
Right. I was just going to say Ted Bishop until you jumped in there. And also I gave one to Richard Hills, the European director. So I'm all excited about it, expecting some bigger news today. The cover is going to be chosen later on. September 2nd, we'll be giving out more information on how you can get your hands on the complete history of the Ryder Cup from 1927. It'll take you right up to Glen Eagles. And interesting thing in the rear of the book, and this is for people that love this type of stuff, anybody that's ever played in the Ryder Cup over its rich history. Their records are in the back of the book, so you can quickly look up and settle any 19th hole arguments that you may have about who did what and who played well or who played poorly. It's the Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, due to be released on September 2nd. I am the co-author, along with a good friend of mine by the name of Tom Clavin. All right, let's move on, because that was a shameless plug, but had to get it in there. We're going to talk amateur golf, and Alex was actually there in Atlanta, and that's all coming up. But right now, I have to tell you, you're listening to The Grow Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week, heard on TuneIn Radio, U.S. Amateur, when we return.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back. And as we said, we're going to talk about the U.S. Amateur. When we returned, it was held down at the Atlanta Athletic Club. And my partner in crime, Mr. Maselli, I know you were down there. Give us a little flavor of what it was like at the U.S. Amateur. I know you've been to many of them.
Well, I have been. And, you know, what's interesting, first of all, is that the field was a pretty good field. But as you know, as people drop out of after college, there's a lot of guys that don't show up at these amps. So you're really learning a lot about these guys, you know, at these events, because there's not guys that necessarily get the same focus during the year. You know, you don't have a Patrick Rogers playing. There's so many guys that you didn't have playing. So that's the reason why I go, because next year is going to be a Walker Cup year and you want to get a pretty good handle on some of these guys. But the golf course is such that you played both courses were right there. Both courses were very, very good. They obviously played the match play portion on the Highlands course, which is where they had the PGA Championship last in 2011 when Keegan Bradley won. The course, as you know, was renovated by Reese Jones, and it's been in great shape since then. And what's interesting is that outside of the fact that unfortunately only from an American standpoint, unfortunately the finals were between Gun Yang from Korea and Canadian Corey Connors. The interesting part about it all is that this is really a prelude or a kind of a coming out party for the USGA, for them to look at the Atlanta Athletic Club as a potential U.S. Open venue in 2023, which would be the 100-year anniversary of Bobby Jones's first major victory in the U.S. Open in Inwood up in New York. So that is part and parcel of what was going on this week. Outside of the fact that U.S. Amateur was there, they are trying to showcase this course because they've made an invitation to the USGA to hold the U.S. Open, which would be the second U.S. Open held in Atlanta Athletic Club in its history, but the first one since a long time in the 70s when Jerry Pate won.
Let me ask you this. What year did you say, Alex?
2023.
And I take extra time when I go to the grocery store not to buy green bananas. I mean, 2023. Wow. Man, would you promise to carry me there?
Well, I'm not sure who's going to be carrying who at that point, Bobby. But you know, for Gunnar Yang, who won, big event, big win against Corey Connors, who's been there in the past. But now, both guys will get most likely get invitations to the Masters, And in Yang's case, he will also go to the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, which also held a U.S. amateur back not too long ago when Peter Uihlein won. So it's a big thing to win a U.S. amateur. You're getting the Havermeyer Trophy, which I think if you look at that trophy, it's a if all the U.S. Open trophy, all the USGA trophies there are, I think the Havermeyer is probably the neatest one of all of them. And you know, Yang, who is tremendously happy, he's a sophomore at San Diego State. Let's listen to his thoughts.
I was just trying to make it to the match play portion, really. That was the goal, first of all. And then when I made it to the match play, I was like, maybe I can do this, you know? Maybe I can do this. So I was just trying to go through by every single match, just, you know, trying to play my game and trying to and see how it goes. And I got the trophy. So I'm really excited and really happy about it.
Congratulations to that young man. Clarify something for me, Alex. You said that most likely we'll be invited to the Masters. What did you mean by that?
Well, there's no guarantees. I don't want people to think there's a guarantee. The likelihood is that he will be, but there is no guarantee that that will happen. And it's just one of those things where we all think it will happen because the Masters, that's how the Masters does things. But there's no quid pro quo agreement that happens, unlike the USGA, where they can clearly say that Gunnar Yang will, in fact, be at the U.S. Open. I wanted to also let you know, Bob, that or Gun Yang, I should say, it's interesting that in Gun Yang's case, he was ranked 776th in the world amateur golf rankings before winning this event. So anytime you think these rankings are, you know, the be-all and end-all, just remember that this gentleman was ranked 776 coming in.
Well, it's got a nice American ring to it, 776. But anyway, has there been an occasion, getting back to the most likely going to be invited, that the Masters has not invited the winner of the U.S. Amateur?
Not familiar with it.
Okay, so pretty good chance he's going to be there. That's the bottom line.
I don't think there's a question about that. I'm just saying it's not guaranteed.
Yeah, well, obviously, because if he turns professional, then he's not.
No. They could actually not extend an invitation. They don't have to extend an invitation is what I'm telling you.
Right, and if he turns professional, he loses the invitation.
Right. People may not remember the fact that the Walker Cup team used to be invited to the Masters to play.
That's true. Years ago. You were there, Alex, at the U.S. Amateur. Great job on bringing our listeners up to date. Well, when we come back, it's going to be Focus on Vision, but you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week. Read all the great stories in Golf Week every week. And you can also listen to us on TuneIn Radio. Focus on Vision on the return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back in The Grill Room. Alex Maselli, Bob Bubka. Jenna Self with the dials and the numbers and the whatever she does back there. I don't know. I don't pay attention. But we're on Focus on Vision now. This time of the show where you listen and learn more about the adaptive sunglasses that Transitions involved with. It's time to hear from Paul Casey. After all, he wears the Nike Max Transitions adaptive sunglasses and has successfully worked his way back into the top 125 on the PGA Tour. So we can only assume that his Nike Max sunglasses must have helped. Here's what Paul had to say.
I've been wearing Nike eyewear for quite a while now, and you know, it's something I didn't really pay too much attention to growing up in the UK, where we don't get that much sunshine apart from the summertime. But landing in Arizona and playing Arizona State, you know, it had to become part of my game. And, you know, it's all to do with the lenses. And, you know, in fact, the Nike glass I got on today actually have some Transitions lenses in them, which are superb. Because it's always that, you know, we're not playing a sport where the conditions are always the same. And with the Transitions lenses, being able to go in and out of the shadows, you know, the lenses will adapt to the amount of light, you know, being shined down on us. This is a very, very important part of equipment and important for making me play the best golf I can possibly play. You can actually get better vision than guys who are not wearing glasses, which is great.
All right. Our thanks to Paul and congratulations once again for climbing back up the ladder to the PGA Tour. All right, Maestro, when you hear that music on the Grill Room, you know it's time for news and notes. And a little housekeeping note here, Alex. Once again, congratulations to Stephen Pitts, who correctly picked Rory McIlroy to win the PGA Championship. He wins a pair of Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Janice will be in touch. All right, the PGA Tour 2014-2015 schedule has been announced. Why don't you run down some of the biggest changes, Alex?
Well, as we've talked about in the past, the World Golf Championship Match Play Championship is going to move to Harding Park in April, right before the Players Championship. People may remember it used to be the last event on the West Coast before we went to the Honda Classic at PGA National. So now it's moving April and May. That's going to be quite interesting, all the way out to the West Coast, then all the way back to Florida. We'll see how that works out. The Barbasol Championship is to debut on the PGA Tour in 2015 at Opelika, Alabama. It'll be the same week as the British Open. In the past, we've had opposite events against the British Open, but not this year. Now Barbasol is going to take over an event that will be up against that. And then Opelika, Alabama, it will be on the Robert Trent Jones Trail. Wells Fargo moved to the week after the Players. It used to be the week before the Players. We'll see how that changes the field at Wells Fargo. Crowne Plaza and AT&T Byron Nelson changed places in the schedule. That is not a big difference. They have done that in the past. Colonial now will be first and Byron Nelson will be second. Byron Nelson will be the week before Memorial. And then Quicken Loans, which has been in the 4th of July slot, is moving to, or I guess the week before 4th of July, but it's also been in the 4th of July slot in Washington, D.C. It's going to be moving to the week after the RBC Canadian Open. I have to be quite honest with you, which means it would be, we would go out of the Open Championship, we go to the Canadian Open, we'd go to the Quicken Loans, then we would go to Bridgestone, then we go to the PGA Championship. I don't know if that's a good place or a bad place for Quicken Loans, but I will say, Bob, in the recent past, where Quicken Loans has been, has not really given them a very good field. I'll see if that changes when it moves to where it's moving to this next year on the PGA Tour schedule.
And we witnessed something unusual by Mr. Tim Fincham. Tell our listeners what I'm talking about.
Well, this ice bucket challenge to raise money for ALS has been kind of finding its way everywhere in the world, and Tim Fincham has decided to jump on board, and he took an ice bucket challenge to raise money for ALS. I know Tom Watson did the same in regard for in support of his, what had been his good friend and caddy who passed away, Bruce Edwards. So Watson has done the same thing. I mean, Fincham has done the same thing. If anything, what it does is it brings recognition to what the disease is about, and in some cases raises considerable amount of funds. There are so many issues out there that require every once in a while for people to step up and take a look at
them.
ALS is certainly one of those, also known as the Lou Gehrig's disease, because of the slugger's death from it.
All right, before we leave news and notes, hats off, a Grill Room salute to Joe Ogilvie, Alex. Certainly one of the real good guys on the PGA Tour. Played in 398 events a span of 15 years, and he's retiring from professional golf. Now, several years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, which you always do, I heard the name Joe Ogilvie bantered about, graduate of Duke, as a possible future successor to Tim Fincham. Is there any smoke with that fire?
No. No smoke at all. If Jay Monahan isn't the next commissioner of the PGA Tour, I'll eat your hat.
Well, you're lucky because it's not nearly as big as your hat. Anyway.
That's why I took your hat.
You're a smart man, Alec. After the break, we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Bobby, I know you've been to St. Andrews many times over the years. I know that because I brought you in a milk truck the first time. And I'm willing to bet there's plenty of listeners that have been too. So now OldCourseMap.com has produced a beautiful, distinctive map of the Old Course, New Course, and 8 holes of the Jubilee Course of the St. Andrews Links. It's an old map for the Old Course that was originally published in 1898. This is a one-of-a-kind map that looks great framed or on any wall. Just go to OldCourseMap.com to place your order or get more information. That's OldCourseMap.com.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, Alex, we're back. Time to start wrapping things up here. That clock on the wall keeps moving, and Dennis Self, the executive producer, is saying, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up. And she's the boss, so you have to listen. On the PGA Tour, the playoffs begin with the Barclays at the Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey. Champions Tour, the Boeing Classic, Web.com Tour, final event of the season, Winco Foods, Portland Open, presented by Kraft, and at one of our favorite places, Alex, Pumpkin Ridge.
That's right. I've been there for Women's Opens, U.S. Amateur, a lot of different things. They got two great golf courses, and, you know, we talked about this before, going to mid-majors, mid-markets, rather, are a good place to go for golf.
And, of course, at Pumpkin Ridge is the site of your famous, now infamous, apology to Nancy Lopez. We've told that story enough times, so we'll spare our listeners.
And me, too.
Well, you did apologize there. Last chance to sew up a PGA Tour card before the Web.com Tour Finals begin. So a big time period on the Web.com Tour. The LPGA Tour, Canadian Pacific Women's Open, Lydia Ko is our defending champion.
Yeah, and she has won there two times. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, she likes the venue. She'll be going in as a professional this time, not as an amateur. And the European Tour will have the D plus D Real Czech Masters. It is the penultimate event for the Ryder Cup qualifying this week and next week at the Italian Open. Will decide the automatic qualifiers for the European team. And that's it, Bobby. Another week in the books. Not only another show in the books, Bob, but also the end of the regular PGA Tour season 2013-2014. Remember to look for the Grill Room on golfweek.com. And when you're there, you'll have full access to the inside story.
We'll be back again next Monday with all the news from the first playoff event, the Barclays, and much more. So a big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and to Golf Week, where they take you inside the ropes. For Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on the Grill Room Golf Show Facebook page. And once again, the show is always accessible on golfweek.com.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.